This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Wednesday.
Sada.
Rob and Souk, what's up? No club tonight, guys. No club.
No, enjoy it while you can. Got an hour left.
Yeah, we've got a show called I'm Listening, featuring Guns N' Roses, Katy Perry, Jon Bon Jovi, Jewel, and Alanis Morissette.
Does it have Axl Rose, or is it like the sane members of Guns N' Roses?
That'll be on at 6 for you.
Although it is about mental health, so I don't know. Maybe Axl Rose is going to be on there. I don't know.
We have Gus Frat coming on our show.
Yes.
We have an interview.
Huddle with Gus.
Yes. It's called Huddle Up with Gus.
Huddle Up.
Yeah.
Can we go no huddle, or is Gus old school?
I think we huddle.
What if we, you know, what if we're in a hurry up sort of situation there with Gus?
So Gus is on our radio.com app,
yes,
with a podcast called Huddle Up with Gus, and you can go to huddleupwithgus.com to subscribe to his shenanigans.
Yeah.
And we're going to have him on at 5:30, and we'll talk a little football, maybe some Justin Herbert. I'd like to know from him what he thinks Anthony Lynn is doing, throwing Herbert under the bus the way he seems to have done.
It's not particularly ideal, I wouldn't think, but he was around the game for a long, long time.
Talk about all these injuries in the NFL.
I did see a thing, because you were asking, is this abnormal, this many injuries? And I got an answer for you on that at some point if you want.
Maybe next. Let's do that next.
I read into that today.
Okay.
I went looking for a definitive answer for you, and...
You got it.
I don't know if it's definitive, but it's
you like that?
It's telling.
Good. All right. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
You know,
Number five.
A lot of rumors swirling that Mike D'Antoni may be the next coach of the Sixers.
Ooh.
Of Philadelphia fame.
I'd be intrigued by that. Although at some point, don't we know that this isn't working? Like,
what?
D'Antoni? Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
people fall in love with it.
It's interesting. It's exciting, but I guess he did come close a couple times in Phoenix.
Yeah, could you see Philly running it? I think that's an interesting hire if they do that, but nothing concrete there.
Ben Simmons pushing the ball as long as he doesn't have to shoot.
We do have Celtics Heat East Finals Game 4 tonight. Heat leading 2-1.
Yeah, we were asking why they had to delay that for so long. One, I don't know if you wanted to necessarily go up against the NFL, but also lines up a little bit better with the Western Conference. Had they not skipped it, this would be game 5,
mm-hmm,
and the Lakers would have just finished game 3. So this puts you a little more back online.
Do you think those guys are really bored in the bubble? Like, there's only 4 teams left in there.
I think they're pretty
bored. There's nothing going down.
Yeah, I think you're
then you get 3 days off. It's like...
Number 4.
There's only so much you can do down there.
Lightning 1, Stars 1, Stanley Cup Finals. Game 3 gets underway momentarily. More sports.
No one pays any attention to it because it's hockey, but the Stanley Cup playoffs have been fantastic.
Well, I would imagine hockey fans pay attention
to it. Yes, but in general, just the fact that they're on the NBC Sports, whatever the hell that thing
is. Yeah, that's the hard part is you can never find them.
They have to find a way to get back on ESPN.
Stupid hockey.
And a lot of times when you have
I'm very confused. Why is that hard to find? It's a channel that's with all the other sports channels.
No one watches it.
I don't have it. I don't think I have it.
You probably have it.
I don't. I don't have cable.
Were playing multiple games, they would show them on the most random networks as part of that. It's
dumb.
It's a bad TV deal. It just is.
Put them on NBC.
The worst thing they do, some of the Stanley Cup final games will be, but the playoffs in general, it's just a shame that more people don't pay attention because it really has been good.
I will defend it a little bit, is that NBC Sports Network is great at covering the sports that they have. But you're right, not a lot of people will have it. But it's an incredible network.
See, Game 4 will be on NBC.
Okay, good. Then, it's easy to find.
Yes. It's just out of sight, out of mind for a lot of people.
That's right.
And when you got to
scroll through it to find it. Like, I'm not seeking out a hockey game.
No.
But if it's sitting there on NBC, like with AT&T TV, that's the one I have. And I see it on there. I'm like, oh, I'll watch that.
Yeah.
Legendary Kansas running back Gale Sayers has died at the age of 77. Bears Hall of Famer was living with dementia. When he played in the 60s and early 70s, he was one of the best to ever carry the rock. Lots of tuds.
Plenty of tuds.
5,000 yards in 5 seasons before succumbing to multiple knee injuries. He's the youngest ever inducted into the Hall of Fame. He was only 34. And, of course, great friend of Brian Piccolo and Brian Song.
Yeah, he's always going to be linked to that. And he's the Sandy Koufax of the NFL, as he's often called.
Mm.
Brilliance, but cut short by injuries. And the sad part was, he even said, you know, if those injuries happen today, they're fairly minor injuries. But, you know, the medical procedures just, they weren't up to snuff back then.
Saturday's North Texas-Houston game has been postponed due to 4 positive COVID tests at North Texas.
This is now the 5th game.
5th.
Houston has not played a game. They've had 5 scheduled. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They're 0-5, and they've yet to play a game.
They're not 0-5. They haven't played them.
I know. I'm just... just joking.
Confusing people.
They have not played a single game, and they've
they're
had
0-4-5.
They, yeah,
0-5 in trying to play.
They're 0-5. How about that?
Yeah, yeah. So all of their games that have been canceled have been no fault of Houston's.
Yeah.
Rice canceled because of COVID. Washington State went away because obviously the Pac-12 canceled their season. Memphis had an outbreak. Baylor had an outbreak, and now North Texas has an outbreak.
So, I mean, welcome to the world of college football. No one's getting through this thing unscathed.
Also, Tulsa, Arkansas State canceled for COVID.
Damn it.
And USF, FAU canceled for COVID.
USF canceled, huh?
Yep.
They just played Notre Dame, and Notre Dame had an outbreak. Did USF have an outbreak?
I'll try to find that out. I just saw that game was
postponed. Yeah, I just saw that it was canceled. Or postponed, yeah.
And it looks like Justin Herbert is going to start again on Sunday, and he could start for the foreseeable future for the Chargers because we have found out that the Chargers team doctor punctured Tyrod Taylor's lung.
What was the damnedest thing?
Like, giving him a
punctured lung
and a painkiller injection on Sunday.
Had to go to the hospital because he couldn't breathe. And like no one knew, right? It was the weirdest thing when this happened. They're like, what exactly? And now this comes out. And from doing some reading into this and listening to people that are actually doctors, I guess this is, while it is poor form and it's rare, it can happen. When giving one of these injections, they do say it is one of the risks. Mm. So while this looks horrible for the Chargers and their medical staff, who, by the way, had to fire their old team doctor once because he was over-prescribing pills to Junior Seau, it's not a good look, but gross negligence, I think people are saying that that's probably a bit far, but it's just such a terrible look to lose a guy because you punctured his lung while you were trying to give him an injection to get him out on the field.
Maybe he was a duck.
He's a Herbert family member. It's like you said, he had a little action on it, you know, over under on when Herbert gets his first start. Someone got to him and he's like, well, I can solve this.
FAU had some positive tests last week. Willie Taggart, their new coach, said no positive tests this week. USF statement said because of Notre Dame testing positive and contact tracing leading back to their team, they are not playing because of that. But they did not say they had positive tests.
Oh, wow.
They also didn't say they had any negative or all negative tests. They just said because of Notre Dame, we're not playing.
Interesting. How about that? So they play against Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Seven Notre Dame kids test positive. South Florida doesn't have any positives, although I don't know how often they're testing.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
And they're saying we're not going to play.
I don't know if they don't have positives. In their statement, they just said, because of Notre Dame and contact tracing, we're not playing.
So, yeah.
So that means that some kids are having to quarantine because of contact
quarantine
tracing.
Quarantine, or, you know, a lot of times people aren't releasing whether or not they have positive tests or not.
FAU also has players in quarantine, for what it's worth. So.
And yet the NFL, again, zero positive tests through 2 weeks.
NFL's doing great.
Yeah, the NFL's been amazing. But,
what a mess.
You know, we knew college was going to be more challenging than this. I want to see what happens as the SEC gets started here, because, you know, there's a lot of hotbeds down there where this is popping up. And across the country, the numbers are starting to increase and, yep, and tick up.
Hot 5 at 5 is refreshed by Coors Light. Live sports are back and always better with an ice-cold Coors Light. Coors Light! Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Are there more injuries than normal in the NFL so far? The definitive numbers. And an interview with Gus Frerotte coming up on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
The great Gus Frerotte will join us in our next segment. Podcast host, former NFL quarterback. I was just looking at his numbers, Gus Frerotte.
Mm-hmm.
You remember him running into the wall with his head?
Yeah, he headbutted. He was a little excited.
He played for a lot of teams. He was with Washington, Detroit,
Minnesota,
Cincinnati. Yep. The Vikings when he ran into the wall, I think.
I thought that was Washington.
Was it?
Yeah.
Miami, St. Louis, Minnesota again. Had a long career. Played 15 years. Yeah, quarterback rating 74.
Yeah, it was the Skins when he had the wall headbutt.
93 starts.
That was kind of like the old butt fumble, you know?
Yeah.
It was like one of those that kind of lived on, but then we got butt fumble and now no one remembers the headbutt.
Better or worse than Joey Harrington's career quarterback rating? Go.
Oh, well, Gus stuck around a lot longer than Joey did, so I'll say better.
Quarterback rating, yeah, 74.
Yeah.
For Gus. Joey, 69.
Yeah. Gus was a solid, guy. Starter on multiple teams. Good backup.
All right. Injury notes.
Yeah. So I was kind of digging around because we were talking yesterday, and you said, is this, you know, abnormal what we're seeing with the rash of ACL injuries and just injuries across the board? And while most people, like John Clayton and people were saying this is the worst week I can remember, I actually tried to look through this and see if there was a definitive answer. And there's plenty of articles being written. The NFL, I guess, keeps track of all this stuff. And they try to constantly find trends in injuries. That's why, like, where they're talking about doing away with special teams and concussions, and because so many of those are linked to special teams, they actually... And I didn't see this report, but I was reading that the NFL actually keeps track on what play, whether the injury is a contact, non-contact. I mean, they have a whole database on this sort of stuff. And so the NFL is not saying anything at this point about whether or not you can draw any sort of conclusions to any of this. What I actually found today was there was a doctor that was said that what you're seeing right now is actually not anything worse than what we normally see. It's just preseason. So there's actually more injuries and more severe injuries, specifically talking about ACLs. There's double the ACL injuries in preseason than there is in regular season.
Mm.
So they said, when you look at the numbers, if you are going to say that 2 weeks in, if you compare this to preseason, he goes, you're actually having less than you normally would. There's obviously an uptick now over the first two. And he said, there's a lot of people that believe that ACL injuries are more of an accumulation sort of thing. And that's all you're seeing. And that, because as the season goes on, your ACL injuries go down. He said, you see a huge spike in the preseason. And then the first couple weeks, they stay pretty high. But as the year goes on, it goes down quite a bit, where you really only get about two per week over the course of the entire year. In the preseason, it's four per week. So they said that after 2 weeks, it's you can get a bunch early and then it can taper off, which is why they say through 2 weeks, you can't draw any sort of conclusions. But the one thing he said that looks pretty suspicious right now is simply that we are dealing with preseason injuries in the first 2 weeks of the regular season. And because those injuries are spread out in the preseason to players that we don't know and we don't care about, versus when you're playing in the regular season now and guys they're not playing backups. These are all starters. They're taking all the snaps. This may be, and it's early on to to make any conclusion, but this may be why more big name guys are going down, because in the first two preseason games, which is where we're at technically, those guys would only be playing a quarter and now they're playing four.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think by week five, it'll probably get better.
Yes. So right? This, well, he said it might, the one I read today said it might take a little bit longer, because remember, you have the biggest spike the first four in preseason. And then after three or four regular season games, it tails off. Now with no preseason games, if the data holds up, you could actually see another, you might see another 4 to 5 weeks of pretty bad injuries. And then hopefully we tail off and we're back down to the number traditionally, which has been about two a week.
I would have thought that maybe a concern would have not just been the lack of preseason or the truncated camp and all that. But remember, guys were home.
Yep.
Quarantining. You know, it's like that's the unusual part that nobody really talks about. A lot of guys couldn't work out.
So I did not. I was looking today and I found plenty of stuff on the major ACL stuff where people were speculating. Then I found the one guy who actually had the numbers when I thought the preseason thing was actually pretty eye-opening. I was like, oh, well, that makes sense. A lot of people are saying that there are plenty of soft tissue injuries, and I think that's more, believe it or not, where people are saying that may be the impact that we see more of longer is just the pulled hamstrings and high ankle sprains and things like that. But at the end of the day, everyone seems to be in a conclusion that it takes a while to get used to playing football. The body isn't ready for it. And that when you go from a gentle ramp up to more of kind of what you have now, which is zero to fifth gear, that you're going to see this, but that eventually this will level out as players get used to it. There was almost like this idea that I saw some people were saying, some medical doctors that were saying, when you go into the season, there's a certain number of guys that are just primed, because again, they view it as a accumulation injury. So what did he, I'm trying to use the analogy that I used, rubber bands. He said, you got plenty of guys that have a very thin stretched out rubber band. And when they snap it early. It's like they are prone to do this. And then as the season goes on, the guys that are already prone to that have already had it happen. And then as you get deeper in the season, it kind of naturally weeds out those guys, and you'll still get them, because when guys get rolled up on, or you know, you get a foot stuck in the turf, that's something you can't deal with. That's just a fluke thing. But there are people that are just going to be prone to this because of overuse, and you're just, whether it's in the preseason or the regular season, once you get out there and you start going full go, you're just primed for it.
Now, do the guys who are prone to it more so than other guys, do they know that?
No, not really.
Boy, there's your next innovation.
How do you know?
Well, I don't know, but innovate something that can tell guys, hey, you know, you're in, you know, we need to watch your Achilles, or we need to watch your ACL because of this, this, and this.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
You're a billionaire.
But I mean,
get started.
Here's the thing. Remember when Richard Sherman tore his Achilles years ago? Mm-hmm. It was his last, you know, with the Seahawks. Remember, he even said, he goes, I know it hurts back there.
So and he knew it was coming?
He knew it was coming. Like, he said, I'm just going to go out and keep playing. He kept straining it. And he goes, I know eventually it's probably going to tear. And
but what about knees?
Well, that's what I'm wondering is, if you knew, right, if they told you going in, they're like, hey, your knee is, you know, we can't tell you for certain, but your knee is maybe prone to this, right? It's been stretched out, whatever. We've done some sort of MRI and we think that you are a candidate for it. What do you do? You can't.
I guess, do you rest and rehab?
Well, that's what, and I don't know if rest and rehab, if you're prone to do it, does that matter? Or if you're fighting for your job, or if you're a star, can you really say, well, I'm not hurt, I'm fine, I'm running. Like if Saquon Barkley, and I'm not saying he's one of those guys, but just argument's sake, Saquon Barkley came into the year and they're like, hey, you've got a 30% better chance of tearing your ACL than anyone else. Can Saquon Barkley just say, I feel perfectly healthy, but I'm not going to play, I'm going to rest? It's like,
if you could know that, you would have off season surgery.
Yeah. But then you have off season ACL surgery and you're out for the year.
No, I know, but it's better than,
but
I'm knowing that you, well, so I'm, yeah, right. Like, what are you going to do? You just go out there and play and then it's going to pop and then get it fixed.
Yeah. I mean,
cause it may not,
there's an element like Richard Sherman. That's what he goes. What do I do? Stop and have Achilles surgery? No, I'm just going to keep playing. And if it ruptures, I'll deal with it. And damn it, like it was like 4 weeks later, it ruptured.
I'm just curious if you can just rest for a month or a month and a half. And I'm just erasing the fact that you might lose your job, all that kind of stuff. I'm just talking about the injury in particular. If you spend a month and a half resting it, would you all of a sudden be back to a normal percentage chance of tearing your Achilles or ACL because it's no longer stretched and strained?
I don't know.
As a Yankee fan, Masahiro Tanaka's first year with the Yankees had a partial tear of his UCL, his ulnar collateral ligament.
And he didn't have...
Has never had surgery for it and has pitched every year since. And he's managed it and he does the... You know, he's gone the managing route instead of getting surgery for it. And it has never torn completely. It just has a partial tear in it. So, I mean, there could be something for not going under the knife and playing through it and trying to manage it. There could be something for just instantly going under the knife. I don't know.
I don't know. And then I think baseball is slightly different too. Cause again, baseball, it's a use thing. And I know in football, you certainly have those and that's what we're talking about. But like the Nick Bosa one, he's got his leg rolled up, his foot stuck in the turf. That had nothing to do with overuse. It just, you just get rolled up on and away you go. And in football, it's just a dangerous game. And I remember reading something like 2 or 3 years ago. It was about Jordan Reed, the 49ers tight end, who had all the problems in Washington, couldn't stay healthy. And it was a doctor out of the, God, where was it? One of the big Ivy League schools. And he wrote a paper saying that football players are too big and too fast. They asked, what is the peak of physical performance where you're too big, you're too fast, you're too strong, and you're putting too much stress on your body? And his point was, you found it, and you found it right now in the NFL, that these guys are not physically capable of being 250, 260 pounds, running 4.5s, having the collisions. He just says the human body, he didn't believe, could handle that. And again, it's just one man's theory, but I remember reading that a couple years ago. And you know, maybe there's something to that too, that you have literally built heat-seeking missiles in tank canisters, and then we run into each other and you wonder why guys get hurt.
All right, interesting. Well, coming up next, why did Anthony Lynn seemingly throw Justin Herbert under the bus when he played pretty well? And he will start again this week. We'll get some convo going on that with NFL quarterback Gus Frerotte next. Here's Mike.
.org.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's 5:33 here on The Fan. Let's talk some more NFL with the great Gus Frerotte. Huddle Up with Gus is sponsored by 1631 Digital News. You can subscribe by going to huddleupwithgus.com. Gus Frerotte joins us on The Fan. Hello.
Hello. Hey, Jason. How are you guys doing tonight?
Oh. Good. Hey, what has Gus Frerotte been doing for... I was looking at your football reference, and you retired in 08. Have you been in the media game this whole time, or what's been going on with Gus Frerotte?
Oh, no. I got out in 08, and I coached high school football in St. Louis for 4 years. I got to coach. It was really easy for me. I coached Ezekiel Elliott and Foye Luakon. Foye plays for the Falcons, and Zeke plays. Obviously, we know who Zeke Elliott is. So it was really easy to coach when you have those two players. So I did that for a while and then got out and got into some entrepreneurial work and started a podcast about a year and a half ago.
Like when you're in high school and that is, do you just turn around and like how many touches did he have per game?
70.
Yeah, no, really. It was like, hey, Zeke, we only got 28 kids on our team. You're basically the whole team. We're going to give you the ball in the first half. You score as many touchdowns as you can and let everybody play the second half. He's like, that sounds good, coach. Let's do that. So everybody got to play. We put a lot of points on the board and we had a lot of fun with it.
What kind of a guy is he?
He was great. He was a team player. He was a hard worker. I was harder on him than anybody else on the team because they didn't really want to listen to me. They'd rather follow Zeke and do what he said. So I told him from the beginning of the season, I said, I'm going to be harder on you than anybody else on this team. And so he came to work every day. He put in the time. He was a high school kid. He had some days that he didn't want to be there, but he pushed through it. But I think the best thing about Zeke, a great football mind. You know, he absolutely knew what to do no matter what situation I put him in.
What is the biggest difference that you see from, you know, I mean, you were on the league a long time, you played a decade and a half. Do you see a big difference in the way and what you see now versus when you were in the league?
I don't know. People say that the quarterback position is soft now, but You know, I watched Joe Burrow get hit about 15 times, and I don't think that's soft. And, you know, I think that, yeah, they call different, they call penalties different now. They do it all over. You know, linemen can't, they can't chop block and do all those things too, and it's protecting defensive players, and defensive players can't hit offensive players like they used to. They're trying to make the game safer so guys can play longer. But you guys have seen the first 2 weeks, there's still a ton of injuries. It's a physical game, and no matter what they try to do to it, it's going to be hard-nosed tackling. It's going to be tough football.
Gus Frerotte's podcast is called Huddle Up with Gus. You can subscribe by going to huddleupwithgus.com. So we're big fans of Justin Herbert here, a lot of Oregon fans, and he got in there last week. I thought he looked pretty good. Just your assessment of his week one performance and having been through it, like what's he going through as a rookie in just week two?
Well, I'll tell you what, the best thing that happened to him was finding out about 10 minutes before the game that he was going to play. Because as a rookie, if you're going to go in as a quarterback, play your first game, you're super pumped, you're focused on it all week, you're over-concentrating on the game plan, writing it down, studying it, you know, trying to figure out how I'm going to be a leader, how do I lead this team, and then the best thing that happened to him was he didn't have to go through all that stuff. He had a normal week, and he was just the backup, and Tyrod was going to play. Now, all of a sudden, hey, I got to play, and it just kicks in, and you just go play. And he had a phenomenal game. I think I feel bad that he didn't get the win, but they were playing a pretty darn good team. And, you know, I liked what he has, man. He made some incredible throws. He showed a lot of moxie out there, and he showed a lot of poise. And I think that the Chargers are going to see him playing a lot more this year than he wants to think so.
You know, you see a lot of young quarterbacks, they come in and they have some success early, and then you either hit the sophomore slump or a couple games in. When someone gets enough film on you, and how much is that before you really can start to game plan specifically for a guy's weakness? And how, talk about the challenges as a quarterback when teams are actually game planning for you versus, like you said, when you can kind of go in and you just let it rip.
Yeah, you know, there's something that you have to do with yourself. You have to self-scout yourself so that you're not giving, you're tipping anything. I remember 1 year I was playing in Tampa Bay, and Warren Sapp came up to me after the game, and he said, "Hey, Gus, your feet are not level when you're running the ball, and they're level when you're throwing the ball. So you're giving away the run." And he said, "I saw it all week on film." And so I was lucky enough, people told me about that, but you know, you have to self-scout yourself that if you're staring down things, if your snap count's different when you're running, when you're throwing, if your demeanor's different. So it all has to look the same, or it all has to look completely opposite week to week so that you're not giving anything away.
Why do you think Anthony Lynn I found it interesting, you know, that Anthony Lynn kind of, I mean, he didn't really throw Herbert under the bus after the game, but he said, you know, there's a reason why he's a backup, and there was a lot of things we couldn't do out there when he was in there. Why do you think he did that?
Well, he's protecting his starter, right? And I think he's protecting the reason why, now that you guys know as well, why Tyrod didn't play.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I don't think it had anything to do with Justin playing. I think it was more about protecting Tyrod, making him understand that, hey, you're our guy this year, and we're going to follow you, so you're going to come back, and we got your back. So that's very important to a quarterback, because I've been through situations where you don't get that support, and they're going to throw you under the bus any way they can. And I don't think he was necessarily throwing Justin under the bus. I think he was more saying, hey, Tyrod, it's okay. We almost won. We got your back when you come back, and you're going to be our guy.
Right.
Have you ever had a situation where a locker room can become divided, you know, over a quarterback situation?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think that when two people are competing, if the starter starts and then he doesn't do well, the backup comes in and plays well for two or three games, he's going to build some trust with certain guys. And so everybody has friends in the locker room, and, you know, there are those kind of things where, you know, there's groups made, and sometimes it's not great. And I think when quarterbacks don't sit there, share their knowledge of the game, share their understanding, and realize that it's about the team and not the individual. When those times happen, and then you can really get some bad situations in the locker room.
Yeah. What is, I mean, you were at, you know, you had 7 or 8 stops in different cities. What was your best situation that you were in?
Well, I mean, I've been in all kinds. I've been the starter. I've been the backup. I've been the backup that plays all year as the starter. So I've been through it all. I enjoyed being the starter. Many places where you go in and you got to prep every week, you got to buckle down, and then the backup, you're kind of not getting the same reps. So you got to find your reps in other places, like doing the scout team and things like that. But you know, whether I was a starter or the backup, I enjoyed every minute that I was in the NFL. So my best situation was just being able to play in the game in front of all those fans. And, you know, there's nothing better than a comeback or, you know, making a big throw or, you know, just something great happens and your teammates, they go nuts around you. I mean, or you get to celebrate with your team in a certain way, or, you know, even in the bad situations, the people that come pick you up, those things that, you know, you really miss when you don't get to have them anymore.
So when you see the first 2 weeks, I mean, we know Kansas City, we know, you know, Baltimore, you know, the two best teams, but maybe a surprise for you through the first 2 weeks of the season that a little better than you thought and can be a real contender.
Well, I think for me, it's Las Vegas. I think the Raiders, you know, we knew the kind of years they've had, you know, with the transition, they're moving to Vegas, they're doing all, they open a new stadium. But I like the progression of Derek Carr. I think he came into his own this year, showed a little more leadership, changed his demeanor a little bit, is really making some great decisions. They got a good running back there. And I think Coach Grudem is getting them on that passion on how to win. And they're really, I look forward to them to having a great year as long as they can stay healthy. And I think that's the key to any team in this. You got to stay healthy and you got to keep your guys on the field.
What do you think the Falcons were doing on that onside kick?
I don't know. You know, I said the same thing when we watched it. You know, the guy kicks it. I'm like, there were three guys standing there. Just jump on it before he even gets 10 yards. Like, yeah, I know you're taking a chance, like if you muff it or whatever, but to me, it's like, okay, the ball's turning, kick it out of bounds, do something. Like, don't, I mean, that's just the worst mistake you can make. And, you know, that's just, coaches are going to coach and teach from it. And it's just something that you can't let happen. And, you know, to have the Cowboys come back on the Falcons like that was, it was tough to watch.
Yeah, I mean, at brutal. Some point, like you've seen this with Atlanta or like with the Lions, and they keep having this happen and blow leads. I mean, at some point, this is just who you are, right? I mean, someone's got to be held accountable for it.
Yeah, you know, and my thing was, I talked to somebody the other day about it is, you know, you get a big lead, what usually happens? You know, you just put it into cruise control, and we're going to run the ball, we're going to do what we normally do, and we're going to play prevent defense, and it's the old adage, you know, when you play prevent defense, the only thing it prevents you from is winning. And I think that, you know, people make a big deal about teams. Oh, they scored way too many points and they were way up. Like, who cares? That's your offense. That's what you got to do. And when you lay back, when you don't blitz anymore, when you don't do the things why you got a 39 to whatever lead, then you're going to have situations that come up like that. Now, usually recovering from that big a deficit doesn't happen. But, you know, that just goes to show you got to put your foot on the gas and never let up.
Gus Frerotte, radio.com. You can catch him on that app. Subscribe to his podcast called Huddle Up with Gus, sponsored by 1631 Digital News. You can go to huddleupwithgus.com. Gus Frerotte, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, fellas. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Appreciate you. Although, hey, prime time with Jason and Suk.
It's got a good ring to it.
I thought you'd like that.
You know,
you like that.
Yeah, you like that. You like that.
Gus Frerotte.
Kirk Cousins, like, I think we need a new intro here.
Primetime with Jason.
With Jason and Suk.
Well, I think that the onside kick is going to go away.
Eventually,
yeah. Yeah, I think they're going to get that 4th-and-15 idea going.
I like it.
I like that, too.
The onside kick
Because
is
the onside
stupid.
Kick, yeah, now that they've changed the rules, it's really hard to recover one of those.
Unless you're just the Falcons and you put your head up your arse.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we'll wrap it up next on The Fan.
Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Everybody's making headbutting wall jokes on the fan text
Someone
line.
Tells me that isn't anything new for Gus.
Yeah, I was, you know, there was probably a time in my career that I would have totally needled him about that.
Yeah.
But I just felt like I felt like we wanted to feel Gus out.
Sure.
And, well, you know, some people just don't have a sense of humor about things like that. I didn't know if he does or doesn't. I have no idea. But yeah, I just decided to, didn't want to ask him.
Think about it. At this point,
I thought about it.
If you do bring it up, is Gus going to be like, oh my God, that's hilarious. No one's ever, you know.
Right.
How many times?
I'm sure that's all he gets.
Exactly. It's like when, someone's
Jason and Sook show is different.
I mean, clearly. But if someone, that's like when someone says like, you're bald. I'm like, I am. Oh my God. am I just finding out about this now? Like, be original.
Well, I would like to, ask him.
Yeah, maybe the third.
What were you doing?
That might be the third or fourth conversation. Although, you know, we could probably get someone on about the butt fumble. I was teammates and a pretty good buddy with the offensive lineman that caused the butt fumble. I could reach out to him and we can do a deep dive into the butt.
You're right.
Fumble.
It was with the Redskins. I thought it was with the Vikings.
Nah, it was the Skins.
He did that with the Skins.
Yeah.
Or the Washington football team.
Headbutted the wall and he messed up his neck.
Yeah, he did. Didn't he have a concussion from that? He doesn't hit. I'm watching the replay of it.
I don't remember if it was a concussion, but I think he messed up his neck and maybe it was a concussion. Look, there's lots of guys that have dumb moments, like you break your hand punching another guy, or, you know, it's dumb stuff happens. It's just that his got caught on national television as the quarterback for the Redskins, or now just the Washington football team.
Yeah, anyway, we're done. We have no club tonight.
No, although we're not done. We've got like four more minutes, so.
Three.
We're not done. Go. Give me more content.
I don't have any more.
I want more. I want more. I care more.
I'm done tonight. I'm out.
Rob's finished.
I'm thinking about dinner.
You gave, what's on the,
I don't know.
What's on the menu?
I can't wait to see what Nurse Nice has cooked up tonight.
Ah.
She likes to cook. You know, we get that Green Chef. Have you tried that?
No, but it's like meal delivery, but it's not pre-made, right? It brings the ingredients and you have to cook them.
This is correct. And it's actually really good.
Yeah.
Some of the chicken can be a little rubbery.
Well, and I had one of those. I did Blue Apron for a little bit and they always said like 30 minutes, 30 minutes, my ass.
Blue Apron took forever. My wife did not like are they a sponsor?
Blue Apron is wonderful. And
my wife didn't like it.
Well, it just
look. I'm just being honest.
It was really good food, but some of the stuff for me was too advanced for my
palate.
Rudimentary skills. No, it was really good. You can't ask me to have like 19 different steps in making a meal. I've got like four steps. Gotta be like four things tops: meat, grill, veggie, starch, and I'm good.
Yeah.
But you're getting into like me having to. You know, there's too many steps. It's confusing. I'm not a good cook.
So coming up next is a show called I'm Listening. It's an original show produced by Intercom Radio.
They're doing it nationwide.
Nationwide. It's airing it on all our stations. I think if you flip over to any of our other stations, I think they will have it on at the same time.
Yeah.
Tonight. And it's about mental health. So give that a listen because we all need that.
I was
talking to our big boss last night and I'm like, you know what? I like to say that 2020 is not getting to me, but oh my God, I'd be lying.
Sure.
I am, you know,
well, and just
in a little bit of a rut.
And whatever anyone,
because of the world.
Whatever anyone is going through, you know, it's not a judgment thing of, well, I had it worse than this, or I had, you know, it's like if you're like famous, right? Like you can't be depressed. Like, oh, you've got all the money in the world. Well, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, if you're depressed, everyone battles it. And this will be my parting shot because I truly do believe we would all be better off if we took it more seriously. You know, and I know you and I have had conversations off the air very seriously, but after I lost my dad and I lost my wife in the span of a year, and I was in a really bad place, and I don't think I appreciated how bad it was. I was concerned on trying to make my kids okay, and about a year after she had passed, I just woke up one day and realized just how bad it really was. And the best decision I've ever made in my life was going to seek professional help. And the doctor that I saw for 2.5 years absolutely saved my life. It is not a macho thing. It is not a manly thing to ignore your mental health and to think you can do it on your own. We can all use a little bit of help, and mental health should be something that we in this country take way, way more seriously. Do not be a tough guy. If you're struggling with something, there are people that can help.
All right, well, I'm Listening is coming up next. Give it a listen. And we are back tomorrow with a full show, 3 to 7 on Fan. Good night.
Red chips of Spain. Red chips of Spain.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.